We give you all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, you can be seated. If you would, turn your Bibles with me to John, the fifth chapter. Tonight I want to take the opportunity to encourage Word of Life, EIWM partners, LTMA members, encourage you to be involved with what God is doing in this ministry and in our lives at this moment. I truly believe that the instructions that Apostle has given us of this witnessing campaign, I truly believe that it is just as powerful as when Moses told the children of Israel to put the blood over your doorpost. I believe those instructions that we've received in this apostolic house are just as important. Remember now, this is not going to be the last incident or pandemic that we go through. And so we as Christians, we need to be prepared, need to be strengthened. We need to be ready. One of the ways that we're going to be prepared and be ready is to simply be a part of God's agenda. What does God want with me? What does God want from me? Very powerful prayer that we always pray in our intercessions before service when we have prayer. And we always pray Ephesians, the first chapter. It begins in verse 17. It says, the Apostle Paul says, I pray that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Why? That we may know what is the hope or the purpose of his calling, God choosing us, God inviting us to be involved with what he's doing. And what is the riches of God's inheritance in us? So there are some things that God has placed in us that he wants to inherit from us. And so in order for him to inherit these things that he planted on the inside of us, in order for us to inherit those things, we have to yield our life to him. Now, how do I yield my life to him? The easiest way you yield your life to him is stop being stuck on yourself. Stop being stuck on your problems. Stop being stuck on your issues. Stop being stuck on trying to find a solution for your problem. John, the fifth chapter. Watch this. Glory to God. Watch this. We're about to see the purpose of miracles. See, when you have, you know, in a training center, I teach a class called The Alliance of Honorable Men. Very powerful book. And we have a great time in that class. And one of the concepts that we cover in that particular class is that the church has to shift from being self-centric to becoming God-centric. Another way to say it is stop being self-centered and be God-centered. And so when you read the word of God from a self-centric point of view, the only thing you're trying to get out of the word of God is how can this benefit me? You see that? But when you read the word of God from a God-centric point of view, now you're trying to find out what is God trying to say to me? What is God trying to reveal to me? What does God want me to see? But if our soul, our mind, is only focused on solving our problems, solving our issues, finding solutions for ourselves, we never focus on what God wants. And so when the answer comes and it does not show up in the fashion that we wanted to show up in, we miss it. Watch this. John, the 5th chapter, in the 20th verse. Watch, we're about to see the purpose of miracles. Watch this. In verse 20, he says, "For the Father," this is Jesus talking, "for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him," what? "Greater works than these." Why? "That ye may marvel." So the purpose of miracles is to make men marvel. You want miracles in your life? Stop worrying about if you're going to marvel. Are the people around you going to marvel at what God is doing in your life? Or are you going to allow God to use you to let other men be to marvel at what God is doing in your life? Let me tell you about miracles. Watch this about miracles. Here's the pattern of miracles. Every supernatural and miraculous act that happened in the Old Testament was positioning the people of God for the birth of Jesus. Go back and read it. Every miracle that happened in the Old Testament was God positioning his people for the birth of Jesus. Every miracle that took place while Jesus was here on earth that he performed was bringing attention to himself. Go read it. Every miracle was bringing attention to himself. Because when you are able to open a blind man's eyes, that blind man is now trying to focus on, who is this that can open my eyes? When you walk, show up at a wedding, you show up at a wedding and they running out of wine, and you tell those men to fill those barrels up with water. Take a dip of it out, take a cup of it out, and go bring it to the headmaster. And it, from the time they dipped the water to by the time it got to the person who's throwing the party, it turned into wine. A miracle. Yeah. Those men that filled that barrel up with water knew they filled it up with water. Now they want to know, who is this man that can turn water into wine? So now let's go to, so why was the attention brought to Jesus? The attention was brought to him because God knows I'm about to put him on this cross, and I want them to realize that this person who performed all these miracles in their life brought all attention to him. He's hanging on that cross for them.
Yes, sir.
That's good. So now every miracle that happened after the cross is supposed to point people to the cross. So now in your mind, if the only reason why you want a miracle is to get you out of your situation, you're selfish.
Wow.
If the only reason why you want miracles to happen in your life is to get you out of that situation, you're not thinking about what God is trying to do. All miracles in the Old Testament, every supernatural act in the Old Testament was leading up to the birth of Christ. Positioning God's people for the birth of Christ. The Hebrew boys, Dan and Lion's Den, Elijah and all the miracles he performed, Elisha and the miracles he performed, all the miracles, all the Joseph, all the miracles that Joseph happened in his life, all the supernatural acts that happened in Joseph's life, David killing Goliath. All those supernatural acts or miracles were positioning God's people to bring Christ into the earth. The miracles that happened or was performed while Christ was here on earth was drawing all attention to him because he was going to the cross. So that means all the miracles that happened after the resurrection of Christ is pointing back to the cross. So miracles take place in our lives so that men may marvel. So when men marvel, they're now wanting to find out, who are you with? Who is in your life?
Yes, sir.
Who are you serving that will cause these things to happen in your life?
Yes, sir.
And you can easily say, I know a man.
Yeah.
But 95% of the church is only concerned about miracles to get them out of their current situation. Let's read it again. John, the 5th chapter, 20th verse. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel, so that you can be amazed, so that you can be wild, so that you can see extraordinary things happen and become inquisitive. So now you see the word greater works. If you're a student of the Bible, you know what scripture I'm going to next. Turn with me to John, the 14th chapter. John, the 14th chapter, verse 12. Verily, verily, Jesus talking again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, here it is, John, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, God is going, my Father is going to show me what he's doing and let me get involved with the greater works so that you can marvel. Mm-hmm. Right? Then Jesus now saying, hey, listen, the greater works that I was doing, I'm going to need you to do the same works. And you're going to do them because I go to the Father. So that's why. So now you see and understand why I said that the Old Testament supernatural acts and miracles were all leading up to Jesus getting here on earth, getting him here, positioning the body of Christ, positioning the people of God, positioning Israel so that Jesus can arrive here on earth. All the miracles that Jesus performed while he was here on earth was bringing attention to himself so that he can reveal the Father. All the miracles that are going to takes place after the resurrection, every miracle that's taking place after the resurrection was bringing attention to what Jesus did on the cross. So Jesus is saying, because I go to my Father, because I'm going to the Father, we will be able to have those same manifestations. But the manifestations are not about us. The manifestations are about us drawing people to the cross. Turn me to Luke, the 9th chapter. So now, I need you to shift your paradigm from survival mode to kingdom mode. What I mean by that. Go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Before we go to Luke, the 9th chapter. Go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Watch this. Romans, the 12th chapter. These three passages of scripture, I go over them all. I basically meditate on these scriptures pretty much every day. At least they don't cross my mind at least once a day. Some form of fashion. Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, I'm going to focus on verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable in God, which is your reasonable service. All right? Let's go to verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. In other words, my mindset cannot be the same as the world. My mindset... Now, what makes my mindset different? When I begin to renew my mind with the Word of God. When I renew my mind with the Word of God and become a living sacrifice. See, a lot of people are just renewing their minds with the Word of God, but you got to renew your mind with the Word of God and become a living sacrifice. The two got to go together. You can't just be a living sacrifice and not renew your mind, because then you ain't gonna know what to do. But you can't just renew your mind with the Word of God and not be a living sacrifice, because you're going to know what to do, but you ain't going to do it. Wow. Do you see that? See, the two got to go together. See, you got to be a living sacrifice and you got to renew your mind so that you don't conform to the world. Don't be in survival mode. Most of the world today, in this moment, during this pandemic, is in survival mode. They're in survival mode because They don't know what to do. But when you are in kingdom mode, what kingdom mode mean? You're transformed. You got another way of thinking. You have another reason why you wake up in the morning. You got another reason why you're going to your job. You have another reason why you're running your business. You have another reason why you're in college. You have another reason why you're going to school. You're not going to school. You're not going to college. You're not running your business. You're not working your job for the same reasons as the world system. When you become a living sacrifice, now you're waking up saying, God, what are we going to do today? God, whose life are we going to affect today? Wow. You want more miracles in your life? See, those of us that are adhering, look, we social distancing. I ain't seeing nobody. I ain't got to see nobody. I know for a fact, because the word of God is true. I know for a fact the people that are witnessing in Word of Life, they are receiving miracles in their life. Yes, not because of what they, not because of their efforts. Not because of their efforts. Because they are living from the kingdom. They're not trying to get in the kingdom. So they're having miracles and they're like, why? Because here you are. God is saying, okay, I see somebody that is after what I'm after. So any problems that they face becomes my problem. You see that? Anything that they're dealing with becomes, it becomes me dealing with it. Why? Because they have sacrifice their life to me. They've given up their way of living for my way of living. So those of you that are complaining about your job, you're complaining about your boss, you're complaining about the environment. Change your perspective. Stop saying, God, get me out of this, and saying, God, what I'm supposed to see in this.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, Jesus one time healed a man, and the disciples wanted to know who sinned. Did his mama sin? Did his daddy sin? Who sinned? Why he in this condition? Jesus said, nobody sinned. It's all so that God could get glory from this miracle.
Yeah.
So I can walk upon this man, see him in this condition, do something about it. Now people are marveling.
Yeah. Right.
Now they won't know who I am.
Yeah.
Sometimes the situation you're in, God allowed you to walk in that situation.
Yeah.
Wow.
He allowed you to walk into that situation just so you can turn to him and say, God, okay, how do you want to handle this? And God performs a miracle on your behalf so that everybody knew, even the people who tried to hang you on your own gallows,
wow,
can marvel and say, I can't mess with them. They dealing with somebody. They got somebody working with them that we can't see.
Yeah.
Come on.
And you thought the miracle was about you. Stop complaining. Stop complaining about your business don't want to grow. Ask God, say, God, you told me do this. See, a lot of times what we do is we hear God say something to us and we ask God for opportunities. God puts us in situations, and instead of us going back to him and say, God, okay, now you open this door. God, now you told me to start this business. Instead of coming back to God, say, God, how you want to do this? Now we start figuring it out ourselves. So we no longer become a living sacrifice. And so when you as a Christian was born to face darkness. What is the use in you being the light if you're not supposed to face darkness? All right, before we go to John, go to Matthew's 11th chapter. Watch this. See, some of y'all still got this old paradigm, and I'm challenging you tonight. Some of y'all got this old, because how many we got online? We got 567 people on the Slack app. We got 567 people on the Slack app. There's more people watching. What's holding you up from becoming a witness? Are you self-centered? I'm saying it as kind as I can. Are you self-centered? Are you only worried about your problems? Are you only concerned about what you can get from God? Because remember now, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians, the first chapter, he was praying for the church at Corinth that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they may know what is the hope or the purpose of God calling them, and what is the inheritance that God has on the inside of them. What is the riches of his inheritance in the saints? His inheritance in us. So God has something on the inside of us that he's planted on the inside of us, experiences, miracles, breakthroughs, deliverances that he's placed on the inside of us that we're trying to access ourselves, but we can't. They're only accessed when we become a living sacrifice. When we yield our lives to him. When I get up in the morning and I'm going to work, I'm not going to work to say, let me get through this day. I'm going to work saying, God, this is my mission field. God, this is your kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Let me go to what I told you to go to. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Watch this. Because I want to say Matthew 11th chapter, then I'm going to go somewhere else. Matthew 11th chapter, verse 28. Very familiar scripture. Jesus talking again. He's talking again. And Jesus is saying in the 28th verse, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Jesus knew that we were going to be facing darkness. He knew that. That's why he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And what he said, I will give you rest. He said, take my what?
Yoke.
My yoke. Take my yoke. Other words, let me say it like this. Take my problems upon you. What? Did you say that? What? Yeah, see, what you don't understand is that Adam caused the problem. Adam and Eve caused the problem. And Jesus, when I watch this now, Jesus had to become flesh to take care of the problem. And so we who are in the flesh have to grab others out of the problem. I'm going to say that again. Adam caused the problem. Jesus had to come in the flesh to fix the problem. And we who are now in the flesh have to grab other people out of the problem. He said, take my yoke, take my yoke, take my yoke, and what he said, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So that means if you're in survival mode, if you're a Christian and you're in survival mode, that means you ain't learning of him. You're not yielding. Your thinking is still, I'm in survival mode. I'm trying to make ends meet. I'm going to this job. I need to get a raise. I need to get a promotion. I need this. Instead of, okay, God, what do you want to do? Because let me tell you something. When God promotes you, there is nothing. And we live in a society where people like to cancel people. When they don't like what you're saying, they won't cancel you. Listen, when you on God's side, you cannot get canceled.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
When God is with you, you can't get canceled.
Yes, sir.
You can't be ignored. You can't be blotted out. Because if they blot you out, they got to blot God out. Can they blot him out?
No.
No. So when you change from survival mode to kingdom mode, you yield your life to him. Every problem that you're dealing with now becomes an opportunity for God to perform a miracle in your life. Notice the miracles that Jesus performed. What Jesus would always tell him? He'd tell him, sometimes he'd tell him one or two things. He'd tell him two things, sometimes he'd tell him one. One of the two things he'd tell him is, go and sin no more. Other words, Jesus would say, don't do another action that will separate you from my agenda.
Wow.
One of the things Jesus would tell him is, don't go tell nobody who did this for you. But that just shows you the power. I said that on purpose. That shows you the power of miracles. When Jesus was going through healing folk, the Bible said his fame grew throughout all the land. Why did his fame grow? Because of miracles. So you got people that you're not going to win to Christ unless you yield your life to God, yield your life to his reasoning for why you're working where you're working, for his reason why you have that business, for his reasoning, so that miracles can be performed in your life, so that you can attract attention to you, so that you can send it to him.
Yes, sir.
You want more miracles in your life? You want God to deal with some of the situation? Because see, what some of y'all want God to deal with your situation, and then, okay, it's dealt with. I don't have to, I'm not under pressure no more.
That's right.
I'm not under pressure no more. I ain't, you know, hey, I'm good. I watch this. You want God, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You want God to get you out of that situation so that you can get back in survival mode. See, because if God delivers you and you don't switch to kingdom mode, you don't give your life, you're going to be back in survival mode. Because guess what? Darkness coming again. Darkness is coming again. So you have to be, one thing I just said, the pandemic. This is not going to be the last pandemic. So we got to become better kingdom citizens. We got to improve our health. Listen, I haven't heard not one doctor yet disagree about this statement. That this coronavirus or COVID-19 affects people with underlying conditions. All of them saying the same thing. But yet they won't talk about the solution, which is improving your health. So this is why God sent an apostle, a prophet from God, who is not a doctor, but just start reading the word and start researching and saying, this is what people are missing. And three, we got to become better stewards. Why? Because God wants us in a position to where he said, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So in order for us to take on his yoke and to take on his burden, we have to become a living sacrifice. I got to be willing to open my mouth for Jesus.
Yes, sir.
As simple as that. I got to be willing to open my mouth for the gospel. I got to be willing to lose my life. What it means to lose your life? Does it mean dying? No. Because if it meant dying, then nobody gets saved.
Yeah.
If we all die, physically.
Yeah.
No, it's talking about losing your identity.
Yeah.
If you look at any of those scriptures that say lose your life, it's talking about psyche. It's the word psyche. Original Greek word is psyche, meaning you lose your way of thinking. so that you can get the Zoe, the God kind of life, or God's way of thinking. So when I begin to lose my life, yes, I'm going to lose identity. I can't save face. Nobody opinion of me overrides God's truth about me. Not God's opinion, God's truth about me. So I don't mind, nobody else died on the cross for me. So I'm not ashamed to talk about Jesus Christ and him crucified.
That's right.
It can't cost me nothing. It can't, whatever it may cost me, God can always give me more.
That's right.
See, that's what we have to get. Anything that it may cost me for sharing the gospel, for sharing the love of Christ with somebody, whatever it may cost me, God can pay for it all.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You have to get whatever it may cost me. I'm not going to let this world system threaten me in any way.
Yes, sir.
To not talk about the gospel.
Yes,
I'm not going to let any friends, any of my family, any of my peers stop me from talking about Christ. I'm not going to let my personal agenda get in the way of me talking about Christ, me taking the time to share Christ. A lot of times we go to Matthew 25th chapter. Watch this. Go to Matthew 25th chapter. Matthew 25th chapter. A lot of people thought this was talking about just going to heaven, but it ain't talking about just going to heaven. These versions with this all. I'm going to close here. Version with this all. I want to encourage you. I don't know what to say. That's not an excuse. You know what to say about everything else. I'm not even going there. That's not an excuse. You know how to talk about everything else you want. You know how to talk about NBA basketball. You know how to talk about the political arena, how you either like President Trump or how you don't like President Trump. You can talk about all that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So wait a minute. If you are so well-versed on all those other subjects, tell me, how do you get well-versed on all those other subjects? Because you spend time thinking about those other subjects. So how much do you spend thinking about the Word of God? Because anything that you well versed in, you spend time with it. How long do you watch this fake NBA season? How many hours of this fake NBA season you watch? I'm not even getting, whoever win this, they not no championship, mother. You ain't playing no 82 games. You're not a champion. You ain't playing no 82 games. Then you gonna come back trying to compare him to Jordan. Don't even do it. I'm not trying to hear it. Don't even do it. This old fake NBA season. How much time you spend on this fake NBA season and you know all the stats? So this excuse of I don't know what to say. what you mean? You know what to say about everything else? If you spend time creating and fortifying your relationship with the Father.
That's right.
If you see, God really created man to have a love relationship with him. So if you spend time creating or fortifying your relationship with him through fellowship, then you will know what to say. Moses tried that. Moses tried the same thing you're telling me now. I don't know what to say. Moses told God the same thing. God wasn't hearing it. So if God wasn't hearing Moses, God ain't hearing you.
That's right.
So let's just eliminate that excuse out of your repertoire right now. I don't know what to say. You know what to say about everything else. Spend time with him. His help, Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. Memorize them. John 3:16. Memorize them. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Memorize them. And you work from them three scriptures. I right? You work for them three scriptures. You work for them three scriptures and you'll always know, you'll be prepared. I don't know what to say. Nah, that's not going to work no more. You know what to say when you go to God, say, God, get me out of this. All of a sudden, you know what to say then. You know how to pray then. God, in the name of Jesus. And then you know the scriptures. You know what to say then. So not knowing what to say when it's time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, when that opportunity comes. Matter of fact, let's read this. Watch this. Matthew 25th chapter. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They took their lamp, but didn't take no oil with them. But the wise took all in their vessels with their lamps. Let's break this down. The bridegroom, what the bridegroom represents? Bridegroom represents Jesus. More so than Jesus, it represents his agenda. More so than that, it represents covenant. The all, what the all represents? The all represents the ability. The all represents the anointing. So it's possible, watch this, it's possible for you to have a lamp which is being able to see opportunities to get involved with what God is doing. His word shall be a lamp unto my feet, knowing where to go, knowing what to do, and a light unto my path. I know where to go. Watch this. Verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, all of them got up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Wait a minute. The ability to see where the opportunity in life was going to be is now gone. The opportunity, the bridegroom, covenant, his agenda has showed up. The lamp is going to give them directions on how to be in the right place at the right time to meet that opportunity. Verse 8, but the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. Now here it is. It says, go that sell and buy for yourselves. This is an individual thing. And guess what? It's going to cost you. What's it going to cost you? Your life. So what did the wise do that the foolish didn't do? They spent time preparing themselves for when the opportunity came, they were ready. Are you preparing yourself? See, that's why I'm eliminating all excuses. Are you preparing yourself for when the opportunity comes, where the bridegroom shows up and say, hey, this is your moment. This is your moment as my bride to show me off. Do you know what to do? Is your lamp on? Or is your ability gone? You have no oil. Light not burning. Can't see what to do. Can't know what to do. Because your enablement, your anointing is gone. Why? Because you hadn't spent time. So now you don't know what to say or to do. Why? Because you hadn't spent time. So are you going to be like the wise, or you're going to be like the foolish? Wise are prepared. Their lamp is always burning. They always have oil. They're ready for every opportunity, because this is just not a one-time thing. This is a repetitive thing. The bridegroom is going to keep showing up. Opportunity is going to keep showing up. His agenda got to be forefront in your mind. When the opportunity shows up, are you prepared? Now, here's the question. I've had many opportunities. Did I miss some opportunities? Yes. But I've gotten more opportunities right than I missed. There'll be times where you're in a store or somewhere and you missed the opportunity. You just missed it. But make it up in your mind, I'm not going to do that next time. So now gone is the excuse, I don't know what to say. How are you going to know what to say? Because you prepared. You spent time with the Father. So it's easier. All right, let me go back to my let me go back to my NBA analogy. There's the age-old argument, and it's gonna go on forever. Who's the best? Who's the GOAT? Some like LeBron, some like Jordan. Now, actually, you're never gonna be able to solve that issue because it's two different eras. But that don't stop people from arguing about it. And I mean, when you hear some people argue about it, they're well-versed. How they well-versed? Because they go and look at highlights. They go look at stats. They know how to quote this. They know how many points per game Jordan averaged over his playoff career. They know how many points per game LeBron averaged over his playoff career because they go and study. They've listened to other people talk about it. They've studied about it. They do this so they can make that argument. They are prepared. So the question is, when the opportunity for you to argue with darkness for that person's life. When the opportunity comes for you to argue darkness out of their life. Jesus is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. You're going to win when that opportunity comes. Are you prepared? Because darkness ain't going to leave unless light is shone. Unless your light is shining, darkness ain't going nowhere. So that means Christ can be all around us. But if you don't open your mouth, light can't be seen. Are you going to be wise and be prepared? See, some of y'all still on, you're still on what about me? If you be about the Father's business, you obligate God to be about your business. Oh, you need me to prove it to you. No problem. Matthew, the sixth chapter. Let's read. You know where I'm going. But some of y'all just want me to read it to you. I don't mind reading it to you. I don't mind reading it to you at all. I want you to be in a position to where the next time the bridegroom shows up, you're prepared. You have your lamp and you have your oil. You ain't got to go ask nobody for no oil. You're prepared. You know what to say. You are ready for the moment. You are ready to snatch that person out of darkness. You're ready to snatch that person out of the hand of the enemy. You're ready to snatch that person out of their turmoil that they're going through. You're ready to give them a pathway to victory. Matthew, the sixth chapter, the 33rd verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and what it says. And all these things will be added to you. So the job that God gave you, that's what I said. The job that God gave you, is it your mission field? The business that God helped you open, the business that God is funding, is it your mission field? The scholarships that God provided for you to go to that college, is that college your mission field? Is it your mission field? Are you seeking God first? Okay, God, this is my circle of influence. God, light up everybody you need me to talk to. Because remember now, it's not really about how well-versed you are. It's your willingness. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Are you willing to be the one to lift him up? Are you the one? Or are you just concerned about your issues? Are you just concerned about your problems? Because I promise you, as soon as you change your paradigm of thinking and get out of survival mode into kingdom mode and begin to merge your lives. What I mean by merge your life, some of us have dual lives. We got our Christian life and then we got our work life. When you merge the two and become like the Apostle Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. God, whenever you tell me, whenever you give me the opportunity, I'm going to open my mouth for you. I'm going to say something. Even if, listen, you got some of you watching me, ain't open your mouth, ain't never said nothing. It's time for you to be about your Father's business. This is one of the reasons why the pandemic happened, so that we can be jolted out of our normal church going selves, our self-centered, I'm coming to get a word from God for myself, me just coming to church so I get my needs taken care of. When you decide, you have to make decisions. You have to present your body a living sacrifice. When you decide, God, I'm here for you. And I'm not just here for you just one day. Not just for this moment. Not just while we in training. Why not we in training in the Word? God, I'm here for you all the time. God, I am willing to be embarrassed.
Yes.
You know why I'm willing to be? You know why I'm willing to be? Because I don't care what people think of me. I don't care. I just flat foot don't care. I don't care what people think about me. I'm make my own mind up. And guess what? You're going to run into some people that are rude. Don't take it personal. It's not you they mad at. It's the enemy clouding their judgment. The 25th chapter of Matthew, the latter part of the 25th chapter, begins to talk about the talents. I like that version, but I like Luke 19 better. Because here Jesus set it up in that fifth chapter, in that fifth verse in Luke 19, it says Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. Then he went into that parable. So what Jesus was saying is, I've equipped you to be about the Father's business. Now, when I come back trying to find out what have you done with the abilities and the opportunities I've given you and where I placed you, are you going to have fruit for it? Or did you just go to the job to get the check? Or you just ran the business so you could become a millionaire? The check is a byproduct. Becoming a millionaire is a byproduct. The main reason why God is telling you to do all these things is to seek and to save those who are lost. If you can prioritize that properly, if you can make that the center of your existence, then the paycheck gonna grow. The business is going to grow. Opportunity, you're going to see opportunity galore. You're going to see, because what? Watch this. When you have that lamp and that oil, you're not only going to see opportunities to be involved with what God is doing, but you're going to see opportunities for yourself to grow. Why? Because you got the oil. You're going to be able to see. You're going to be able to see things other people can't see. You're going to see opportunities others can't see. You're going to be on the job and see opportunities on the job that others ain't going to see. And God, and why you can see them? Because you decided to make God the center of why you're there. I hope I encouraged you, Word of Life, EIWM Partners, LTMA. This is serious business. This is serious business. This is God wanted to know who you're with. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Are you going to witness to somebody? Or are you going to share the gospel? Or are you going to be like the foolish virgins and just get enough oil to try to take care of your problems? See, it was the wise virgins that were able to recognize when I, because see, the foolish virgin saw the opportunity, but weren't prepared, couldn't find a way, didn't know what to do. The wise virgins, they saw the opportunity, knew what to do, knew where to go. Why? Because they had to all to keep the light burning to show the path. I want you to be a wise virgin. The Bible says that he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Is that you? Challenge tonight. This is the challenge. Those of you who are on, we got members on Slack that hadn't even gotten on Slack yet. I don't care what apostles say, I ain't getting on Slack. But yet, you want the grace. You want the anointing. You want money cometh. But yet, when instructions come from God through apostle that challenges us, I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I ain't got to do all that. Now, remember now, there's coming a time when that door is going to be shut. The opportunity is going to be gone. When the opportunity is gone, you got to wait till the bridegroom come again. And ain't no telling how much hell going to come in between the bridegroom's appearances. When opportunities appear, ain't no telling how much hell. Because if you on that opportunity, when the bridegroom come and you get involved with God is doing, you are now automatically entitled to grace to cover you on any, cover you from anything that's trying to attack you. Remember now, I don't know what to say. It's not an excuse. If you don't know what to say, then go talk to the person who knows what to say. The Father knows what to say. Cultivate your relationship with him. Spend time with him. Spend time in his word. Remember now, memorize Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. John 3, 16. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Those three scriptures you can start off with. Don't be like the five foolish virgins and not be prepared when the opportunity for you to be involved with what God is doing around you and you're not prepared. You got all sorts of excuses. Do not be like the foolish virgins.